Hello and welcome back to RPG R&D. I am one of your hosts, Jess Geyer. I'm one half of Wannabe Games, and I make tabletop role-playing games, and I'm here with my co-host, Craig Campbell. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Jess. I am Craig Campbell, and I make tabletop role-playing games as well, and we are here with a returning many-time guest, finally, super busy for the last several months, back on the show, Sharon. Hello. Welcome back.
Hi. Excited to finally be able to make time. This semester's been wild. And also, this is my first year I've ever taught six classes in one year, in one academic year, and it's been a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. How many different classes is it?
So it's I'm teaching in fall. Last fall, I taught Introduction to Video Game Design. I taught narrative design strategies, and I taught experimental independent role-playing games at three different schools. So that was Fordham, New School, and NYU. And this semester, I'm teaching Introduction to Video Game Design again. So that's a repeat class. But then I'm teaching representation in games and a graduate level seminar called The Course of Strahd, which is my favorite course I ever taught. It's a completely brand new course. It's never been taught before, but that means it's a lot of work. It's also a graduate seminar, so that's a lot of work, because the big thing is we're doing an interdisciplinary look using film studies, literary studies, and game studies all together. And the point is that I am not a film scholar or literary scholar, and my students know this. So it's very much like I am almost like learning with them a bit in that way. I mean, I have a more experience than them, absolutely, but I'm doing a lot. Last fall, I started doing all the readings I was planning. So it's a very heavy course. It's super fun. I'm learning so much. My students are amazing, but it's been a lot. And of course, all the travel I do.
Three different courses just by itself is a lot. And when you're teaching six different,
and teaching in multiple schools adds the work, because I have to do the, I don't know, sexual harassment training three times. I have to do all the paperwork three times,
Right. Well, we're honored that you joined us in your very busy schedule today.
I'm honored that you keep inviting me back. I'm like, next time they're going to realize that Sharon is not that interesting to talk to. So it's very nice to be invited again.
No, you're definitely very interesting to talk to. And we're very interested in talking with you about our subject du jour. Craig, you want to get us into this?
We're talking about ghosts and spirits and haunts and poltergeists and ghasts and things that are maybe were human but have now passed on into another form or have been transformed in some way, or spirit things that exist on just the other side of some veil or on another plane. We're going to be talking about this kind of from like GMing them. You know, I suppose we can kind of talk about like GMing them as adversaries, but also GMing them as interesting NPCs, like just characters that you might run into. And also GMing, like if you're playing with a game where one of the characters or all of the characters are ghosts or something like that. And then talking a little bit maybe too about design and how creatures, beings that are ephemeral, that don't exist fully on the material physical plane that everything else does in the game. How do you do that? How do you kind of integrate that and make that interesting?
Yeah, Sharon, you chose this topic. I'm interested in hearing why you chose it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so one, I'm teaching a class on horror and games right now, right? The Course of Strahd is about that. So I'm like, ooh, I'm thinking about these kind of things. But like one of the things that interests me, especially as like I mentioned, we're looking at the class from an interdisciplinary perspective. And I think when working on game design with this kind of element, or whatever element you pick, so for us it's ghosts, it's actually, I think, very interesting to look at how we culturally approach this topic from various perspectives, because that allows us to make our design richer. So when I think of ghosts, I think of like ghosts represent a simultaneous like fear and desire of what happens after death, right? So the desire is we don't want people to die. We want to be able to still interact with them, engage with them, and all that stuff. but also the fear of, oh no, because of this unknown, unknowable gulf of death. What, we don't know this, and we fear it, and what happens when that comes back to us, right? And I think if we're looking from a design perspective, it's very rich to be able to then draw on one of these two or both these axes to be like, can I lean on some of these cultural ideas for my game design? Like, can I, in my game, ghosts are about unfulfilled desire. In my game, ghosts are about fear of the unknown. In my game, ghosts are about retribution that's unfulfilled, you know? So I think these themes, these human cultural themes that give rise to our stories about ghosts is a rich graveyard to plunder. I don't know, it's a terrible but yeah.
I think that is key. We've talked about this before on the podcast, and like, not like, what's your game about? Well, what's it really about? So, oh, it's about ghosts, but what are the ghosts? I think that's a great place for, especially like, you're trying to set up a campaign for your players to like feel enriched in this world, to feel like they're getting something out of the story. Having that underlying symbolism can be a real hit. And categorizing it, is it about desire? Like, what do we want to be able to communicate? Is it about, are the ghosts symbolic of like old memories, not letting go, trauma, the past? Are they a symbolism of, you know, unfulfilled wishes, like whatever it is? And then you can create a couple plot points or like a couple story beats that hammer that in different facets. Once you kind of get that idea, you can kind of have a better direction of how to make all the ghosts feel like they kind of belong to one world, because they are belonging to one metaphor.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, like many of our mythic structures, you can twist these to have other meanings as well. So Avery Alder does that really well, right? In Monster Hearts, the ghost is less about these two axes that we mentioned and more about, like, what does it mean to feel invisible in school, right? To be the teen that no one pays attention to. And that's what the ghost is. Well, obviously, there are other things involved and you can make it, but that's the core theme of the ghost. And I think that's really smart to be like, well, they exist these social ideas, but I, as Avery Alder, have another idea brewing for this high school sort of setting. And I think that's a very clever way of using ghosts, right?
Yeah.
Right. And the ghost exists in a number of different stories as like the lonely ghost. You know, The Sixth Sense is an example of that, where these ghosts are going about these lonely lives of repetition of the thing. You know, they're carrying with them the burdens from their lives. And nobody sees them. Nobody knows them. And then the spark of the story, of course, is that there's the little boy who does see them. And that becomes like the plot point of the story. So when the character who's living in the world, Cole, the kid, just like if your characters in your story suddenly become aware of the ghost, like you can play to that storyline too as a GM. And if you're, you know, as if you're playing characters that are ghostly, like, you could conceivably have a game where, like, okay, my character's a ghost, but you are unaware of my existence for the time being. I am going to observe all of you for a game session, and then we're going to find a way to introduce me to you, so you recognize that I'm there, and then we'll figure out what that interaction is going to be. But for the time being, you don't know.
Yeah, there's a great short story. I think it's an Uncanny magazine. It's called The Thing About Ghost Stories by Naomi Kritzer. And I'm pretty sure Naomi Kritzer has a doctorate in folklore. I think I read it in her bio. But the story is about a protagonist who is a folklorist of ghost stories. And the story draws on real world cultural studies that does classification of fairy tales, like different type of fairy tales. But in this fictional story, that the protagonist is trying to do the same thing about ghost stories. Like, can we classify ghost stories? Can we see what patterns emerge in culture and ghost stories? And that's actually really interesting. Like, I wish she was doing that in an academic sense, because that could be really, really interesting for a game designer. Because I feel a lot of game designers get very interested in folklore, mythology, those kinds of things. So I think it's really interesting to like read a book by Naomi Kritzer about like, how do ghost stories function?
Sounds like that should be a class for next fall.
I mean, hey, I love teaching seminars. They're amazing. So yeah, moving on from vampires to ghosts, why not? Yeah, so I think lots of rich and exciting possibility there. It's also easy to, I mean, we see this in all kinds of things, right? It's also easy to take the simplistic, just surface level ideas of ghosts, right? Like, think of like Casper, the friendly ghost, which is for kids, right? So it's not necessarily going to be blah, blah. Though, you know, we argue, we see that there are a lot of media that is very rich for kids. Like, I think of like Steven Universe, first thing that comes to mind, right? But like Casper, friendly ghost, we don't really talk about the fact, like, what is a ghost? We don't talk about the fact that they're dead, that they have previous life. They're just like random ghosts that do see. They could very well be like fairies, right? It doesn't really make a difference what they are. They're like mischievous spirit beings that are invisible and things like that, right? That scare people. And obviously there's nothing wrong with that, but if we're making rich artworks, like rich tapestries, rich things with our games, I think it is important to think about like thematic resonances and think of, like you said, Craig, like what happens when you break out of some of these common themes where people can't see you, for example, and now they can't, you know, that kind of thing. I think it is powerful to use those. And of course, there'll always be room for a game that's not about ghosts that has like a haunted house bit in it, because that sparks people's imagination. There's always room for that. I'm not saying that, no, if you have that in your game and you haven't thought about the thematic resonance culture, you are doing it wrong. Of course, I'm not saying that. But it does, it could enrich your game to be like, what is the ghost representing? And things like that. So
I think we've touched on one of the a great piece of advice, which is to go search out for media that have these ghost stories that really do resonate with you, that you enjoy, that maybe have either a claim or maybe they don't have a claim. What do they do right or wrong with these stories? And I also think reading folklore about ghosts from a variety of different cultures can also start getting you ideas that take you out of, because like in the culture where I grew up, you know, a ghost is a memory of a dead person. It's somebody like you're seeing a memory. It's not like a person. It doesn't have a thought. But in other cultures, the ghost is there and real and thinking it has wants and desires. And in other cultures, it's out there for revenge, or it's there to tell you that you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of like different takes that different, not even like I'm talking about my culture in the small town in the Midwest I grew up in. And whereas, you know, you go a town over, they have a different ghost story about who knows what. And there's so much. I mean, we've been thinking about the dead for since we've been able to think as human beings. So there's that many different iterations on what this means, and just kind of expanding how it goes will help you ideate. And like you said too, it doesn't have to be super deep either if you just want a light little game. But I do think it's fun anyway. I love folklore. So
it's so interesting what you were just saying, that yeah, ghost stories are probably, we'll never know, right? But probably some of the oldest types of stories we have as humanity, right? Because I would imagine that the first humans were concerned about death, obviously. And when someone in your family or whatever dies, that's concerning to everyone. And so I can imagine stories about the dead and stuff being some of our oldest stories. That's wild, actually.
So in the first time these people who were had that on their minds saw a shadow that seemed to move like a human being,
yeah,
or something like that. Where does your imagination
or an
go?
Animal.
Like at the moment that you were talking about this person having passed, yeah. Like, oh, are they watching? Are they, you know, did we summon them, or are they watching over us, or are they kind of still with us? Like, we still know them, we still love them, so they're still kind of with us, but maybe there's some other part of them that's still with us. And you know, imagination goes all sorts of different places. And then, you know, in time that turns into, you know, religion and folklore, and it gets incorporated into a lot of different thought processes and belief systems.
Yeah, it's lovely. I think it's really interesting how we like think about the dead and how we think about those who have like, you know, passed on and stuff. And it's really like, it's really cool. Like, I don't know, even like funerary practices and stuff aren't ghosts, but they're related. And I think that's also really interesting. When I think of world building, I often think of like, well, what are the funerary practices? There was a great game of, what's the name of the game? It's a game where you play demigods becoming gods. It's a OSR sort of game. I forget the name right now. But I remember I was becoming the god of the dead, that consciously was like, can we subvert ideas of like funerals and funerary practices that we have in other games and things? So it was really interesting thinking about all that. So,
and that too could be the theme of your game. Maybe all of the players are, they all have their own ideas about what happens after someone dies, and you know, they're investigating these ghosts. Maybe they all have a loved one who's passed on. They all have their own ideas. That's great for a seance game. That's great for a paranormal investigators game. That's great for any kind of game where you are really focusing on like, hey, this game is about the ghosts.
Yeah.
And then you don't necessarily even have to answer that question out loud to your players throughout the game. The point of the game could be for them to explore themselves in the way that they consider ghosts, like, and have the scientist talk to the priest, you know.
Your idea of they don't have to know, really, I think is actually pretty key, because, and I feel this in some games, I think if the world building is too concrete about what happens after death, that robs some of the danger and whatever of risk of being dead, right? Because like, if you're like, oh, when you die, you go into an underground party and you're partying, then that asks the question, well, why is that a problem to die then, right? So I, like, even like books that are about ghosts and extra, I don't know if you've read Garth Nix's Abhorson trilogy, which now has more books, but it's all about necromancers, and then these like nine precincts of death, and ghosts go there, but then in the end of the ninth precinct, there is true death, and no one knows what happens after true death. And that's like clever world building, because if everyone knew, then like, I don't really like the like traditional D&D idea of you die, so your soul goes to like Mount Celestia or Arcadia or whatever, because I'm like, that why would I fear death? Why would anyone fear death if they know they're going to go into an upper plane and just live there happily with the gods and the angels, right? And so I think a good piece of advice is like not having anyone really know finally what happened. Maybe ghosts as a transitional state, or maybe like you said, Jess, ghosts are like a memory or something like that, you know? I think, sorry to talk about the terrible Terraformans books, but like there's an interesting part where when she started writing the books of like young kids' books, frolicking, there are ghosts around, right? They're like silly and they do silly things like have death day parties. And then as she started making the books get more serious, wow, people start dying for real. And now she has to go back. So there's a scene where Harry runs to the ghost, like, wait, is my godfather going to come back? And now there's this tricky bit of world building. How do I grapple with the fact that ghosts exist? But like this gravity of death. And I think that's because initially she wasn't thinking about like death being an important theme of the books, and later mm-hmm. it did become one, you know?
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you on the things that do fall flat with me when I have ghosts, or I've GM'd D&D specifically with ghosts, is that they have rules and mechanics around like speak with the dead, and they have this lore of like, where do you go when, and who's in charge, and you can bring people back. And it's because the players themselves know what the rules are. And even in religions in the real world, where people are very confident of what happens to them after they die, they're like, oh, I know if I die in battle, I go to Valhalla. If I die and I have prayed for forgiveness for my sins, I go to heaven. People are still afraid of death because there is no communication really back, or if the communication is very cryptic and abstract. And I think having a little bit of that looseness around, like, yeah, sometimes that happens. And sometimes we get messages back, but not always. And sometimes we lose connection completely. And then just kind of having a little bit more of that fear. Or maybe, again, maybe the theme of your game is, well, what is death if you know what happens?
Right. Different kind of game then. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, I think, yeah, if you, sorry. Yeah, that's a good point, Jess. The caveat there, if you want to make a game where like death and all that is a risk factor for players, like a game like any OSR game or any like D20 combat kind of exploration game, then I think that point applies. But if you're making another kind of game that's about completely different, it's not about risk of dying, you know, so many games you can't die, then that becomes another thing. Like, what happens in a world where death is just another thing, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of really fun ways to take it.
One of the things that I enjoy when it comes to, we were talking about ghosts as, you know, they're sort of memories or reflections of humanity. They're like, they're a part of the person that was there. And like, what part of it is it? The part, is it like the personality, the part that you knew and loved and connected with on a human level, or was it some other aspect of their personality, and who they were? And I love, ghosts as metaphors for different things about humanity. And you can take that in a really interesting way as a GM. If you're running a game, like, let's say you have a player who's portraying a character who has an obsession. They have a thing that they're trying to do. They have a driving goal in their life. It motivates them for everything they do. And it's one of those things that they'll probably never truly fully attain it. Well, what happens when that player, that character meets a ghost who is now stuck in this afterlife state, still pursuing some completely unattainable goal? And they're going to be doing that forever, and they're never going to be satisfied. They can tell the player, the character, you know, the player's character, that like, I'm trapped doing this for all of eternity, and I know in my soul, I hope that I will accomplish what I'm set out to do, but deep down there's a part of me that knows I never will.
That's really clever bit of GMing game design, where you use a player's like backstory and goals to decide what antagonists they meet, to kind of reflect back onto the player, their character's stuff. And that's really cool. Like, that's very clever. It's not even related to ghosts necessarily, but that's really clever design. Like, oh, a player wants to do this, let me bring a twisted version of that back onto them in the form of the antagonist or in the form of the adventure. And I think you're right. I think Ghost is a really good vehicle for that, because you can use a ghost to do, like, any goal a player has, you can have a ghost that tried to achieve it and didn't and perished in the process and now wants to achieve it still.
Or did, and had it go poorly, like had a terrible
outcome,
had
something
die, go badly, yeah, afterwards.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
and then that puts the player in the position of like, well, now the character's thinking like, is this a good idea? Like, trying to do this thing? Like, I've been on this path so long thinking that this is going to somehow fulfill me and it's going to solve some problem for me. But like, clearly there's other problems that can come out of actually doing the thing that I'm trying to do. And
yeah,
do I want to risk that, or are things pretty okay right now? And as a GM, not to like strip away motivations from characters, because you don't, and from players, you don't want to like turn the player into like, oh, they become a nihilist because you strip away every meaningful thing in their character's existence. But
it could definitely enrich.
But having it like, and going back to Jess's, and we've talked about this on the show quite a bit, is like using it as a way to explore yourself too, to think about like, well, you know, I sometimes become really obsessed with doing a thing, and like, I think that accomplishing it will make me happy, but will it really, you know? And you can kind of reflect, as you know, you can see the ghost with that situation, you can play the character in that situation, and then you can reflect on it in your own life too.
Yeah. And I think the ghost is an excellent vehicle for that, because you can make it about like, yeah, like it's happened or it's never happened. I think, yeah, ghosts are great. Because again, we can put lots of like, I mean, it's funny that we can do this with most kinds of monsters. We can put all kinds of associations with them, but I think ghosts are even more malleable, malleable ghosts, to putting these. Because like, okay, so I'm teaching a class on vampires, right? So yes, vampires are great stand-in for all kinds of ideas, but there is in each culture a certain conception of what vampires are like because of our exposure to all kinds of things. But I think ghosts, no one is like, no, this is not the rule for a ghost, right? Everyone is like, oh yeah, but we don't really, ghosts have all kinds, there's no, like vampires suck blood, right? Often is the case, but no one knows, there's no rules for ghosts. We just know they're dead things. So that's kind of
it's interesting that you say that too. I think, I mean, there's probably certain examples of ghosts that had very specific rules around them, but broadly across and across many cultures, I imagine that ghosts can do so much and don't have hard and fast rules, or at least don't have many of them, because they are grown out of the idea of death and that being unknowable. So like if you give ghosts too many rules and define very specifically what they are, it's kind of flying in the face of what they stand for.
By
having too many questions, you know, too many questions answered. So that leaves them wide open, and they're human and become something. They're not like, you can take like a demon and make a demon have like, you know, human traits and everything, but then you're like, but they're still a demon. But a ghost, like, that was a person.
And like, that I think has an inherent tragedy attached to it, right? Like if you say demon, but if you say ghost, immediately we're like, this was once a person who died. So immediately there are echoes of tragedy attached to it. Very rarely is that not present, right? Unless, again, it's Casper the Friendly Ghost. But even then, when I was a kid, I'm like, what did he die of? And then I went down that dark route. He's a kid who died, right? That's even darker.
Casper's a little dark when you really think about it.
It's a child. This is the ghost of a child. The child
Young
died.
Young child, yeah. And I think, I also like how like some designers try and like twist them a little bit. Like I really love ghosts in John Harper's Blades in the Dark. I really like the idea of the spirit gets detached, then after a while it goes insane if it's not like dealt with. And that's because thousands of years ago, like 2,000 years ago, the like gates of death or was destroyed. We don't know what happened. And I really like how he takes that a different direction to give it risk, but kind of keep it, because Blade of the Dark has a sort of like Victorian Age of Enlightenment sort of sciency feel to it. So he manages to keep that, but keep it risky, which is really cool. I think ghosts in that is really cool. And then there are other games, like I'm thinking of This Discord Has Ghosts in It, right? By Will Yopst, right? Which is really interesting because some of you play the ghosts and you're attempting to make this house through Discord scary for your other players. So you really get to think about themes and what are the characters afraid of and that. So you're using literary ideas to do that. So there's some really, I think a lot of designers have done really interesting things with ghosts, and not just like, here's a scary monster that's immune to physical damage, but has hit points, and you kill it, and it can do psychic damage to you. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Right. I think now's a great time to kind of pop into that game design side, because a lot of the things we just discussed really apply to your game design as well, and you have also hinted at that. You've name-dropped a couple people who have done ghosts well in their games, because they are tied thematically, and again, especially if your game is centering on ghosts, you want to be thoughtful about these themes that you're putting in there. Like, what are these things and what do they do? And how much information are you going to lay out versus how much information are you going to let the players decide as they're playing? And what kind of guides are you giving them? So I think now is a great time to kind of shift gears into that section.
I was gonna, I just thought of a game, but I can't remember the name. It is a board game, in fact. It is not a tabletop role-playing game. Do you know the board game Deceit, which is sometimes called Dixit?
Yes.
They made a sequel kind of game.
Yeah.
It's about a haunted house, right? What's it called?
Mysterium, right?
Mysterium. Thank you.
I love it. It's my favorite board game.
Yeah. And it's really clever, I think. And there's another sequel called Obscurious or something as well, which I've played. But I really like Mysterium because it really captures the like feel of like a ghost is giving us really, really cryptic messages and we have no idea what he's trying to tell us. Because in Mysterium, The one character is the ghost, the board game, and the other character investigates, trying to figure out how the ghost died, who murdered the ghost. But the only way the ghost can communicate is by pointing basically at these surrealist images that the game comes with. And so you have these like comped, they're very dense, surreal images, and the ghost like basically like points at them, and you have to as player be like, well, what's the ghost trying to tell by pointing at these things? And it's a really clever design thing of capturing that idea of like, ghosts cannot just freely talk to you. They are mysterious, and you don't know why they're mysterious, but they're trying to tell you something, and you have to figure it out yourself. Really, really clever.
Yeah, I love that game because it's frustrating. It's a frustrating cooperative game because they specifically channel the ways that you have to communicate as either the humans who can all communicate together, they can all interpret together, they can talk it out. And you, the ghost, who has all of the information, you know everything. And they don't. And you're trying your hardest with the communication you're given. And it's a great, it's such a fun way to use those Dixit cards. Again, like you said, like those very dreamy, they're like pictures of a dream, basically. Like, oh, this is the dream when all the spiders knit me a sweater and I was on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then they have to figure it out. It is very, very fun and satisfying. And this Discord has ghosts in it, also played with the means of communication between the ghosts and the humans. And I do still think that there are ways that you can still explore that line between the communication of ghosts and people here in the world of the living. But those are definitely exemplars right now in the industry from both, I think, board game and TTRPG side. They've both have been extremely acclaimed. So,
also, and this is, it's interesting because Xeno Language by Thorny Games, right, is ostensibly about aliens, about alien communication. It is inspired by the movie Arrival, all that. But it uses, like, when they were first playtesting the game, they would, like, in the current version, they call it a channeling board. But in the playtest, they would call, I'd use the Ouija board-like mechanic where you are channeling like all the players, like moving the planchette kind of around. But they moved away from Ouija board and planchette, and now it's channeling board and lens, I think are the words they use. But it's similar in that, yes, communicate with aim, but this idea of like you're trying to communicate in an unknown way with an entity that you don't fully understand and you don't fully get what they're trying to say, I think. Even though the game is about aliens and has a lot of interesting themes about that, you can, I think, extend some of that idea into ghosts. And this idea of, I think this idea of just making designs that play with the method of communication is really cool. I will talk about a project I did once with my really good friend and co-designer, Nick O'Leary, who everyone thought for a long time was my ex-husband because my ex-husband's name was also Nick. So whenever I'm like, this is Nick, they'd be like, wait, aren't you married? Like, no, that's a different Nick. I was just because I designed a lot with him. So I was very close with him, right? It was very funny. I brought him to the museum once and they're like, oh, it's nice to meet your husband at last. And Nicole's like, I'm straight. It was very funny. It was very funny. So I've known Nicole Leary longer than I've known my ex-husband because I met Nicole Leary in college. We made an interactive theater piece written in collaboration with our playwright, also named Jess. And it was a interactive theater piece that we developed at the Playable Theater Conference at Northeastern. And then we ran it for the first time in a bar in the city in Wonderville, which is a gaming sort of bar in New York. But like an indie gaming bar, not like a arcade game bar, although indie arcade games. But the thing was that you as an audience member would come in and the theater piece was that you are a trainee medium with spirits and you are coming in to learn to do that. But the best way to learn is through practical application. So, you're going to see a client immediately who is going to he's going to want you to talk to ghosts. And so the piece was that you would sit in a booth in this bar and an actor who was playing a client would come up to you and be like, hi, I would like to speak to my brother. I would like to speak to my sister, blah, blah, blah. And then what we did is we gave them a little sheet of like, this is how you deal with clients. And ultimately, sometimes the connection just doesn't occur. And if it doesn't occur, don't worry, the client just needs comfort. So the players were primed with that and they'd start saying stuff and they had like tarot cards in front of them. And then halfway through the piece, and I'll give you as an example, this is the best version that I witnessed. One client, and so remember, the client is an actor, the medium is a player. They're talking, and a man comes and sits next to the medium in this bar. And then the medium, the player, was like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, this random person in this bar thinks I'm chatting with someone who wants to chat with me. I have to tell him that I'm in the middle of a game. So he turned to the guy and said, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of a meeting with someone. And the new man is like, I cannot see anyone else around except for you. Because what the thing was, that the ghost was played by an actor who would come and sit with the medium, and he can only interact with the medium. He has no ability to engage with anyone else in the bar, including the client. And so the medium had to translate between the ghost and the client. And worked really well, because it started out like easy, you just like do some things, but then partway through it became more complicated, because the client would be like, I was in love with this man, he was the love of my life, I left my wife for him, can you ask him what's going on? And the ghost was like, oh, that was just a one-night stand for me, I have no idea. And the medium has to make a decision about what he's going to tell the client. And then there was one bit when the ghost was like, I didn't say that. What are you telling him? And then the final part of the piece was the client being like, oh, ask my sister all these questions. And then she ends with, ask my sister if she forgives me. I'm sorry, I was really drunk that night and I shouldn't have been driving. And then if the medium asks the ghost, do you forgive your sister for causing the fatal car crash? The ghost gets up and leaves without answering. Oh. And so the player then has to tell the client something, right? And I know, I hope I didn't talk too long about that, but I'm using that as an example because there, Nicolina and I were really thinking about what is this idea of like, of communication, when you cannot have perfect communication, but in many games, like, oh, the many games, it's about, oh, we don't know the communication, so let's puzzle it out. Our game was like, no, you know what the message is, but you have to make an ethical decision about, like, is it more important to tell your client the truth, or is it more important to make your client feel better about the dead? And I think those kinds of, I mean, I know this sounds narcissistic, but I think we did a good job on that game.
That could also be a really fun LARP instead of just theater.
That's a really interesting idea to implement in a game. If you in this case, or you know, if your game design has the conflict is built into the conversation, like if you're literally just translating back and forth, you might as well not even have the medium.
So that was the warm-up.
But there's a conflict built into the conversation, and you could translate that into other types of role-playing games where there's ghosts and humans, and the GM is going to function, you know, play the NPC who's the medium, and like, it gives the player portraying the ghost a great deal of freedom. They become like, improvised. We're going to improvise this story. I'm going to make these things up. And the GM is going to decide, okay, how can I turn that into, like, what will the medium say? And how do I use that? It almost makes the GM kind of have to make player-like choices to decide how they're, because they're only being given so much. You know, normally as a player, you get information and you decide what to do. Where in this case, the GM is playing the medium, has to get information and decide, how am I going to implement this? What am I going to say to the other player to make for the most interesting story, to spark the most interesting response from them? It blurs the line a little bit in that particular application. If it's between, you know, player to GM to player, you could do it other ways too, where you could have if a player is portraying a ghost and the other player is portraying the medium, then the GM is just like the actor who comes in and puts the medium on the spot and makes the medium think about what they're going to say.
Yeah, I love this because we think of TTRPGs, the most inviolable part of it, we think of as like, and what happens if we mess with that, right? Like that the talking, the communication is where the uncertainty lies. Not the dice rolls in this moment, it's where if there's a game of dice, obviously, but the fact that, can we even talk to each other? Whenever that happens, like, I played fourth edition game once where we were in like some magical library, and one of the scenes we were attacked by logivores that ate words and became stronger the more words they ate. And our GM was great. He's a lovely cartoonist in the city named Bill Roundy, and he ruled that any words we say as humans would count as words the logivores ate. So we had to be really clever, but we had to be really clever about saying as few as possible. So instead of saying attack, we were like, you know, we just like gestured a lot. And like, again, messing with communication can add a really interesting twist to everything.
There's also a lot of great divining tools out there that people have historically used to communicate with spirits. Tarot cards is a huge one. They've been using these in games for a long time. You can use
tarot cards
were
invented
game as well.
For games. People forget
yes,
that, right?
Exactly. You can use, I mean, you can do rune readings. You could do, I love the idea of the divining board, the Ouija board.
Okay, now, Jess, you are encouraging me to make a tea leaf reading game. I kind of want to do this now.
A tea leaf reading game would be awesome. You sit around, you talk about the dead, and you drink your tea, and in the end, you
I know. Wouldn't that be so fun?
It would be great. Like,
I'm
going to
note that in my ideas folder, and I'm going to credit you.
Oh, thanks. but you can take all of these methods of divining are essentially also methods of randomization, just with an extra addition of the human interpretation. And that can be very fun if that's the kind of game you're going for and you don't care if the math is always 100% mathematical and you like a little bit of that interpretation.
Wait,
cards, regular cards can also be
inspired by Craig and Jess podcast.
A couple of things I want to mention about. And again, I think we're blurring the lines, but you know, jamming versus in design as well, is that there are a lot of tropes of types of ghosts, and there's nothing wrong with using tropes. But I think, you know, if you're going to design something, it would be interesting to either, you know, like innovate something interesting with mechanics that is along this communication line or something, you know, akin to that. Or get into some aspect of things that ghosts aren't necessarily. It isn't mired in particular tropes. Like I've made jokes to friends where like, oh well, you have the ghost of the soldier who's now trapped and punished for what they did in wartime, and they killed all these people, so now their punishment is to sit and watch other people die, and they're not able to die fully, and blah, blah. And you have the ghost of the, you know, the Victorian woman who's longing for someone or something, the, you know, the Victorian, the woman in white. And I'm like, well, what about like the ghost of the 22-year-old who just really wanted to get to the end of Super Mario Brothers back in the late 80s and wasn't able to do it. And now he shows up and you've got your retro game and he just wants to play your game. Because he wants to get to the end, but and then that's a jokey version of it. But like, what about like if you're designing something, like give thought to like all the different parts of the human experience that can be turned into kind of ghostly reasons for hanging around.
And I love that because those jokes, like imagine that character is haunting a game store, right? But then someone takes a kid takes a game home, and that character now gets obsessed with following that kid around. Like I think of, remember in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the second one, not the first one, that character of the Spot, who I didn't know from the comic, I don't read comics, superhero comics, I mean, in the beginning of the movie is like a jokey villain almost, right? Like a hokey, silly villain, inept and stuff. But then evolves into this huge villain, right? And so I think that idea that Craig has, like, yeah, start with the seed of like, use like break out of the traditional ideas of ghosts, like have the 22-year-old who just wanted to finish this video game, and that if the players become interested in stuff, that can evolve into something bigger, right, in a very interesting way.
Yeah, always follow the heart of your players. If you have a GM game, they what their desires are and what their little whims are, as long as they're manageable, you should follow them and develop. Of course, you're throwing in your own perspectives. I love a game where the GM has a little bit more agency than what might be considered traditional.
Yeah. And to Craig's idea about do the unexpected, there are great other unexpected things. So Mary Georgescu has a little game in Codex Bone, so the Bone issue of Codex Magazine, which is Gauntlet Publishing. where you play a band of musicians because exorcism is done through music. And so you each have a specific instrument and you each have to play that instrument, like stop the ghost, right? So think about that ways of breaking, like you don't, like Jess had a really good thought of like traditional implements to do ghosty things, but what if you do non-traditional implements, right? I'm literally working on a game very slowly about sausage making exorcists. Right now, it's inspired by real like salubri who would travel around like Italy and make sausages for people. And I'm like, well, what if they're also exorcists, right? And so, like, that's a great thing. Like, can we break out of that? By the way, that comes from the idea in India where you like leave for ghosts, like as a thought. But like, can you break out of like, oh, exorcists are like this, they look like Egon and they have proton packs, or they look like this, you know? Instead, like, what if they're musicians and what if they hunt Super Mario unfulfilled ghosts, right? I think that's really, I mean, that, I think you could, that advice is very, very general, so I hope we're not cheating by giving this out, but like, break out of the cliches is a great piece of advice for everything, including ghosts. Well,
yeah, the beautiful thing about a ghost, as we have said, is that they are, you know, they were human and they have, therefore, you can take the whole gamut of human experience. So you can wrap a ghost, you know, reason for still existing and being on, you know, just the other side of the veil into pretty much anything human. You can find a way to kind of to wrap that in there. I want to mention, because it was fun that, Jess, you mentioned the word hearts just recently. I wanted, do you two remember Stealing Hearts?
No.
Stealing Hearts is the game that we, the three of us, on one of your episodes, Charan, brainstormed an idea for ghosts who are performing heists and they're stealing body parts to resurrect themselves.
I have no memory of this. This is wild.
They have no physical bodies. So they're just all the things that are non-physical. So they're very, very full of emotion. They're all very heightened emotion. Everything they do is very emotional and they swing from one to the other. And so it was going to be like this, like you're doing heists to make these bodies so that you can get back to the real world. But at the same time, you're also, I hit you and I love you. And I've got these strong emotional.
Make this all over again. What? I probably in my notes somewhere.
Everything we talked about went into a file. And when Charang picked ghost, I was like, oh, well, now we have to like talk about stealing hearts again.
Oh my God. My My notes file is so long. Sometimes I delve into it and I'm like, oh God, what was this idea I had? What does this even mean anymore? But wait, this is wild. I don't remember this and we need to make this.
How long ago was this, Craig? How do you remember this? And I only was barely.
It was just one of the ones that stuck in my head for so long, I think, because it was just an idea that like really resonated at the moment when we were talking about it. You know, like we bust out the, you know, I want to play that game, I want to make that game, we say that kind of thing all the time, right? But for whatever reason, this is one of about three or four that really stuck with me. I like after that episode, or maybe it was a few weeks after that episode, like I sat down and just like typed some of the basic stuff that we had talked about and put it in a Word document, and it's sitting in my game ideas folder, and I was like,
what episode
alternate name Polter Heist.
Oh my God,
that's so funny that we've talked about.
I don't remember which episode it was specifically, but I'm sure we could probably figure it out. You've been on quite a few times, but you've only been on so many, you know, like we just have to go back and look at what those topics were. We probably pinpoint it.
Maybe it was an episode about heists, I don't know. So I think we've had an episode on that before.
Oh, we might have had a heist. We did have a heist episode, right? I remember that.
I have such a poor memory.
Yeah, I've just written some heist stuff.
So now I'm just going to stick that back into in your brains and see if round two, see if anything actually comes out of it.
No, now I'm doing tea leaf reading game and stealing heists. What?
There you go. Yeah, that's the fun thing about keeping a journal of all of your ideas. It's you go back and you look at it, you're like, oh, what is this? And you're reinterpreting what you put down in the first place. Yeah. If I go back to my notes app. Like, what does cow burglar mean?
I do that. I pop back into this folder that I have, just like I write just like a little, it's like an outline document. And I usually like kind of use the same format every time. And I just have a, you know, different things developed to different levels where I just had ideas. And I see some and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that was garbage idea. And I keep it in there because like there were things about it that I might still kind of have a use for, but like the overall game, it's like, I'm not going to do that.
This brings up a really good
point. This was one that stuck with me.
This brings up a really good point that you're stealing hearts and ghosts, because in some ways this shows us that the ghosts can actually fit in so many different genres, right? You can have a sci-fi game and have ghosts in it, won't feel out of place. You know, if you have a D&D game and you bring in phasers, it will probably feel out of place. But a ghost, because I don't know why, the way we think of it in culture, because dead people exist everywhere, right?
Right.
Ghosts can be fit into a like Stone Age game, Bronze Age game,
comedy, horror, obviously. They work.
Yeah.
They work very well in romance.
Cyberpunk, post-apocalypse, ghosts can fit in everywhere and not feel out of place, right? Which is so interesting.
Yeah. That's very universal. It's probably because it is one of the first types of stories we've been telling. We've always wondered what happens to us when we die. And I'm sure that we've always been having experiences as humans where we see something out of the corner of our eye, or in your grief, you're hallucinating, or whatever it is, whatever your belief system is there. We've always had those experiences and people love to talk about them. And we either love to like try to figure it out and know, or we love to be creeped out by it. And I think that kind of goes back to like the idea of the not knowing can be the fun part.
Yeah. And maybe that's a great design advice. Are you making a game? Throw in some ghosts and see what happens.
Throw in a ghost.
I've been watching some stuff on like UFO stuff lately, because there's been so much about we keep getting more and more footage, and the government has had more to say about like weird footage
of
lights in the sky and everything. John Oliver did an episode, and my fallback still is we don't have a super duper clear video, and everybody's got a camera in their pocket, so I'm waiting to see if that's ever going to happen. So thus far I am as of yet convinced. Yet to be convinced that there are aliens at this planet. I am 100% convinced that there are other intelligent life somewhere in the universe. I just don't think they're here, because that's the same. Like, you know, why is Bigfoot always blurry? Why don't we have a pile of stool somewhere? You know, where are the Bigfoot bones?
Well, clearly you've not heard the Bigfoot's an alien theory.
Yes. They were brought here by UFOs.
I've also heard the Bigfoot's a ghost theory, by the way.
Sure. But I think
I know a lot about Bigfoot.
The ghost thing is one of those that like if you get a group of people together and somebody says, well, I saw weird lights in the sky, and most of the other people are going to be like, well, I've never actually experienced that myself other than just seeing video footage of it. Whereas I think even the person who doesn't believe ghosts exist in any way, shape, or form has probably seen something that they can't explain, so they can still take part in that conversation and be like, well, I don't think ghosts are real, but I did once see this, what I thought was like a person walking at the far end of the woods, and everybody said we were out there alone.
Yeah,
but ghosts aren't real, you know. But everybody's had that moment.
Yeah. And the power of ghosts is like, even if you don't believe in ghosts or whatever, which I would say is the majority of people in the West, you can still get scared by ghost stories. I remember when I was a freshman in undergrad, there's a traditional, like, you know, the undergrads, the pre-orientation, there's like traditional camping trip that the undergrads go to with seniors taking care of them. And it ends in the lodge that Dartmouth owns, and it ends with all the stuff, but it always ends with a traditional like ghost story from the Upper Valley about Doc Benton. Which I've used, by the way, when I GM, I often set the game of Monster of the Week in a small New England college, and then there's a Doc Benton there. But like that story, that goes, like, I don't believe in ghosts, whatever, but like I was still scared. And I remember with my other freshmen, I'm like, guys, can you walk me to the privy area, because it's night and I don't want to go alone. And yeah, it's scary. There's something about ghost stories, again, like we're saying, oldest kind of stories, maybe, that like hits us at like a bone deep, like bone chilling. As a ghost story, and there's some games that try and replicate that kind of feel. I feel Lovecraft-esque by Black Armada Games tries to replicate ideas of like the fear of the unknown. So it's not about ghosts, it's about like cosmic horror, but you know, the same idea of these like ghost stories. And I want to maybe work on war game that uses like ghost story aesthetic or technique, something to like create. I don't know. There's just something about ghost stories, like, ooh. And ghosts are a good example of ghost stories never explain the ghost, right? Ghosts can do all kinds of things in ghost stories, whatever. They rain blood, they do this, they do that. There's no like rules about them. There's no like codified thing. It's all about them being unknown, but about them being dead returning, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, this has been very fun. Especially I'm developing a paranormal-esque game, but not necessarily centering around ghosts. So talking about all of the different ideas has been helpful for my thought generation. But I think because also my internet has started to freak out, which has been if you've listened to the past couple episodes, I've accidentally missed a gap in my speech. That's probably why. Sorry. But yeah, I think let's wrap up a little bit here. Sean, do you have anything final to say on our topic of ghosts?
Our topic of ghosts, I think it's kind of the last thing I said. They're a very old part of our culture and ripe for exploration with modern or differing perspectives. So try and, like Craig said, try and twist it and see what comes out of your design.
Great. So where can we find you and your stuff?
I've been trying to be on Twitter less because it's owned by a terrible person now. So I'm on Blue Sky as Sharang Biswas. I've been using Instagram a bit more as Sharang Biswas. And my itch.io page is astrolingus.itch.io, though that isn't all my design. That's only a small subset of my design. Though my upcoming, my book of D&D erotica is finally releasing in like a month or so because the final layout design is now happening. So that'll be on my itch.io. I'd like to quick plug, I have my first book coming out next year. Yes. Not about ghosts. It is called The Iron Glow Remembers, and it's coming from Neon Hemlock Press. And it's about a world where the Indian Empire conquered most of the world in the medieval era, the ancient era, because of their access to giant mech technology. But it's now the modern era, and an archaeologist finds a complete mech buried in the earth. And he hopes this discovery will make him much more famous than his boyfriend, who he's extremely jealous of, because his boyfriend happens to be a superhero. and it's about...
It's a problem.
So that's coming out next year. And you can also find... If you enroll at NYU, you can find me teaching there. And maybe take my experimental RPGs class in fall.
Great. You can find me at Wannabe Games on Itch or DriveThruRPG. You can find me on social media and other places, but that's a wash.
Yeah. I think I've stopped becoming as interested in social media as I was in my 20s.
Me too.
I'm at Nerdburger Craig on various social medias. My website is nerdburgergames.com. The games are up at DriveThruRPG, including the fancier books are there in the store. Right now, there's a Kickstarter still running for Hyper Sleep Terminated, which is a GM-less, relatively quick to prep game about being in a space disaster. You're actually making a space disaster movie. And one of the disasters that you can deal with is space ghosts.
Yay, space
so
ghosts.
That's in there because, like you said, you can put ghosts anywhere.
Yes, you can. I'm just remembering Space Ghost, the cartoon, and Space Ghost Coast. Thank you to our opening and closing theme song, which is Avel by Steph Sachs, licensed under Creative Commons. Thank you so much, Steph Sachs, and thank all of you for listening, and we'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks.